We are each of us honored and privileged to be able to come together this morning to honor the God of heaven who has created us and loved us and sent his son to die for us so that we can live forever. It's a privilege to be here. We're thankful that you're here, especially if you're visiting with us. But it's our honor to honor him who has done so much for us. Ignorance of truths that are contained in Scripture is an enormous spiritual danger, to put it bluntly and simply. It is dangerous to be untaught. Open your Bibles, if you will, to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 16. And notice that the Apostle Peter is commending some of the writing of Paul. He talks about how in all his epistles, he speaks in them of these things, in which he says, some things are hard to understand. You know what? The Bible isn't always easy to understand. Some things in the Bible are difficult to understand. And Peter acknowledges that about some, at least, of the writings of Paul. And then he says about them, which the untaught, and the ESV there says ignorant, but the untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction as they do the rest of Scriptures. Please notice how dangerous it is to be untaught. Because what you know of the Scriptures, you're liable to twist and misuse, and the consequence of that is your own spiritual destruction. I believe he's talking about the danger of losing your soul eternally. It's dangerous to be untaught. It's dangerous for those who have strayed into a lot of idle talk, speculation, divisive questions, to want to be teachers, to try to teach those who are untaught. It's bad, dangerous to stay in a condition of being untaught. But then when you have those who think they're capable of teaching, who really are just idle talkers, they have a lot of questions, a lot of speculation. They don't really have the answers. They haven't done the time in the Scripture to really know what God's talking about, to really understand His will for us. That's dangerous as well. Then you're matching up people that are untaught with people who are not capable of teaching the truth. Paul writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. He says, the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith, from which some, having strayed, have turned aside to idle talk, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor the things which they affirm. So there are people who want to be teachers, but they don't really know what they're talking about. Nonetheless, people need to be taught. So who do you want them taught by? You want them taught by these people that Paul's describing to Timothy here in 1 Timothy chapter 1? The idle talkers? The ones who don't know what they're talking about? Or do you want them taught by those who are mature Christians, whose knowledge of the Word of God is deep, who rightly divide the Word of truth, and who are capable of communicating it? That's kind of a no-brainer question, right? I hope that we understand. Aren't you glad, and don't you know the Ethiopian eunuch was glad when he's going down the road reading from the prophet Isaiah, and this guy comes up to him and joins him, and he says, you know, Philip, he says to the Ethiopian, do you understand what you're reading? And the Ethiopian says, how can I unless some man guides me? I am thankful, and I know the Ethiopian eunuch is eternally thankful, that Philip was not one of those idle talkers who didn't know what he was talking about. Because he got up in the chariot with him, and beginning in that scripture, he was reading from the prophet Isaiah, preached to him Jesus, and led him to salvation in Christ. Those are the kind of teachers we need, to teach the untaught. And it's time then, it's time for us to think about and to become teachers. In Hebrews chapter 5, the writer of the Hebrew letter says, by this time you ought to be teachers. Let's just, we've read this passage many times, most of us, but let's just see what he's saying right there. When a certain amount of time elapses, those who are growing in the faith ought to be teachers. By this time, he says to these Hebrew Christians, you ought to be teachers. Ought there is a word that expresses duty or obligation. He's not saying by this time it'd kind of be a good thing if you were teachers. He's saying to them, by this time you have a responsibility, a duty, an obligation to be preachers, teachers, I should say. And then he says, but you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God and have come to need milk and not solid food. Everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. See, these people hadn't grown as they ought to. They hadn't experienced God's word deeply enough in their daily studies, in their pursuit of being taught by others, in their contemplation and application of the word. They were unskilled in the word of righteousness. But, he says in verse 14, solid food belongs to those who are of full age. The ESV translates that mature. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised, discern both good and evil. So a mature Christian, one who is capable and ready to take up this responsibility of being a teacher, is one who has handled the word of truth. It's one who has used it to train themselves how to tell the difference between good and evil and right and wrong. They have a lot of experience in the word. There are Christians now, as there were apparently when the Hebrew writer was writing this, who've been Christians a long time, who've spent apparently much of their spiritual lives twiddling their thumbs when it comes to digging into God's word. They just haven't done it. They haven't learned it and applied it and shared it. And so when they ought to be teachers, they're not ready to be teachers because they're not mature spiritually in the word. I want to tell you this morning, if you are a mature Christian, if you have studied deeply, applying it to your life, seeking to understand more and more of what is in God's word over a period of time, you have an obligation to be a teacher. You have an obligation to be a teacher. We'll explore that in just a little bit, but I think this passage plainly teaches that. You may not teach an auditorium class, but you sure have a responsibility as a parent, if you're a parent, for instance, to be a teacher. Dads particularly are given that obligation. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. You fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. The ESV there says, discipline and instruction of the Lord. Things that children learn from their parents stick with them, are important to them, mold their lives. Each parent, the father and the mother, has something a little different to offer to a child. But the primary obligation for the child's instruction in spiritual things, in the ways of the Lord, is given here to the father. Fathers are to bring their children up, responsible to bring their children up in the nurture, the training, and admonition of the Lord. I was talking with a lady that does a lot of our Bible teaching at Athens Bible School in some of the younger classes with the little kids. Brenda Haraway, probably a lot of you know her. She was telling me the other day that over the last couple of years during this pandemic time, when a lot of people have gone, you know, to working from home and all of that sort of thing, she's had a strange experience that she never had before in teaching little children. And the experience is this. Multiple times, she's been doing a Bible reading with the little kids or telling them a Bible story, and one or more of the children would say these words, "My daddy read that to me." Brenda is theorizing that because dads are home a lot more during the last couple of years, that may be something good that's come out of this pandemic, that the dads are doing what Paul instructs them to do in the book of Ephesians. But the point is, dads do have that responsibility to teach their children. They do have that responsibility to bring them up in the Lord's ways. There's a TV show a long time ago. In fact, it's so long ago that when it first came out, I never watched it because I was just a baby. It was called Father Knows Best. Some of you may have heard of that show. Some of you are old enough to remember that show, I'm certain. A very popular TV show in the 1950s. I think they made over 200 episodes of it, so that indicates how popular it was. But the plot line of every one of the episodes was something like this. There was a family, a wife, three kids, and some problem would arise in the family. And, you know, part of the plot would be to show how it was a problem and it wasn't being handled right and it was causing usually funny things to happen. But whatever, things were happening. And by the end of the program, the fairly quiet and subdued father would solve the problem. And the last bit of the show every week was basically all of the family beaming at the father for knowing what they should do and respecting him, showing that their respect for him because father knows best. Now that program, I can just tell you, to most of us living in modern times, seems like it was probably produced about 10 million years ago, right? Because that's how far, far away we are in our society from respecting fathers and from fathers understanding their obligation to be wisdom at home, to teach truth at home, to bring respect and honor to their position as a husband and a father. I'm not preaching 1950s nostalgia this morning. I'm preaching God's Word. In Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 1, "Hear, my children, the instruction of a father. Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine." Doctrine is teaching. "I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, 'Let your heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live.'" That's the biblical view of the father in the home. The care he takes to teach his children, the respect they have for him or are to have for him for doing that. In Proverbs 1 and verse 8, "My son, hear the instruction of the father and do not forsake your mother." And that brings us to mothers have obligation to be teachers as well and can do so with great impact in a little child's life. I've shared multiple times the impact my mother's teaching had on me and still has on me. from the time I was a little child, being taught Bible history, the stories of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the way through. And I know many of you have had mothers who were like that as well. A long time ago, there was a king named Lemuel who wrote some Proverbs. And he says about those Proverbs in Proverbs 31 and verse 1 that they were the utterance which his mother taught him. Think about that, a king thinking it worthwhile to teach the things that his mother taught him. We know that Timothy was taught by his mother and his grandmother. And Paul instructed him that that was good. And that he should remember the things that he was taught and lean on those things. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 14, you must continue in the things that you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Timothy knew the Holy Scriptures because his mother, his grandmother taught them to him. Paul writes about that, 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5, about the genuine faith that dwelt in his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice. And he says, I am persuaded also in you. So, moms and dads, you're to be teachers. You're to be teachers of your children. And their eternal destiny may well depend on you being a teacher in the home. If you're an older woman, it's time to be a teacher. If you've steeped your life in the Scriptures. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 3, Paul writes to Titus, he says, the older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Notice the end of verse 3 and the beginning of verse 4. They're to be teachers of good things. The Bible defines for us what is good, doesn't it? Scripture tells us ultimately that which is good. They're to be teachers of good things, and then they are to admonish, or another translation would be to train the young women. So older women need to be teachers of the younger women. They're obligated to do that. Faithful men need to be teachers. Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, things that you've heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. The word faithful there probably has a pretty broad meaning, not only faithful to the Lord, but trustworthy and faithful with things that have been entrusted to them, which in this case is the truth of God's word. So Timothy shares God's word with others. He teaches these men, and because they are faithful, not only faithful to the Lord, but trustworthy with things that have been given to them that are of value, then they're able to teach others also. And they have an obligation to do that. They have an obligation to do that. Not one of us in this room has ever been taught the truth to keep it to ourselves. I kind of think, I'm not sure of everybody's mindset, but I feel like that some might get the idea that we're, you know, having Bible classes and having sermons and radio programs and whatever else we're doing to teach God's Word, so that the ultimate goal of that is that you're going to keep that knowledge. And that's not the ultimate goal of it. The ultimate goal of it initially is that you're going to live that knowledge and you're going to put it into practice. And then secondly, that you're going to share that knowledge. I mean, keeping God's truth to yourself when you've been taught it is like keeping any other of God's blessings to yourself. You know, we've been given all of this stuff, every blessing in Christ and refusing to share that with others, what do you call that? That's a miser, isn't it? We cannot be misers of the truth. We're not given the truth to keep it to ourselves. We're given the truth to share it. Faithful men will be able to teach others also. And then it's time to be a teacher if you're an elder. We have good elders in this congregation, all of them capable teachers. And I'm adding this here simply because it's what the Scriptures say. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2, one of the qualifications of an elder is that he is able to teach, or apt to teach, as one translation says. The Greek word there is didaktikos, which means nothing to you. But there is a word that's come over into English that might be used in academic circles at least. It's the word didactic or didactic, sometimes it's pronounced, that you may have heard. Something that's didactic is something that is intended to teach. That's the very meaning of it. Intended to teach. Elders are intended to teach, to be teachers. In Titus chapter 1, verse 9, there, as Paul describes to Titus how elders are to operate and their qualifications, he says about them, they're to be holding fast the faithful word. So they've got the faithful word, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine, and the word doctrine means teaching, he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convict those who contradict. So elders need to be able to teach, and not only in pleasant and easy circumstances where, you know, you've got hungry souls in a congregation that are willing to be and wanting to be fed by you, but also in situations where you've got people who don't really love the truth and need to be corrected, need at least to be shown the error of their ways, whether or not they accept that or not. And so elders have that responsibility as well, to convict those who contradict. If we have, this morning, if we have the ability, the maturity, and the opportunity to teach, then it's time to be teachers. I think these scriptures that we've looked at indicate that. But go with me to one more passage, Romans chapter 12. And let's just camp on this passage for a couple of minutes. Romans chapter 12, verses 6 and 7. Now, Romans 12 begins with a great challenge that we looked at all of last year. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may prove or demonstrate that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So transformation leads to a demonstration and a proving of what God's word is. But then Paul goes on and he talks about God's grace, the things that God has given us, enabled us to do. And he says, based on that, Romans 12 and verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, and let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching. How does God give somebody the gift of teaching? That's what he's talking about, right? How does God give somebody the gift of teaching? How does God give somebody the gift of ministry? Let's back up a little bit. Well, if you've been given something, maybe it's a material object, maybe it's some opportunity, and you can use that to help somebody else. Maybe it's food on your table that you could share with somebody else who's in need. You have the responsibility to do that. God's given you this blessing. You're responsible to minister it on behalf of others, to serve. That's how teaching is. God has given us, in this congregation particularly, a lot of opportunities to learn. Lots of opportunities. A number of good Bible teachers, good Bible class program. We've been taught. And then when we have opportunity, we need to share what we've been given. We need to use the gift that we've been given. If we can talk, if we can communicate reasonably well, we can do that at some level. He who teaches is to use that gift that he's been given in teaching. How does this apply to the Bible classes at Eastside? Let me start by saying this. The Bible classes at Eastside do not replace parental responsibility. They are an extension of what parents are to be doing in the home. The parents, therefore, should be involved. At the very least, when children have been in Bible classes here, talking about that at home, going over the Bible lessons, looking for ways to apply that day by day in your personal lives to help your children understand what the Scriptures mean, how they are to be used, and being involved in that process. We have here at Eastside, as most all of you know, a very wonderfully crafted teaching program for our children, all the way up from the little ones through high school. It takes our children through the Scriptures all the way through in about 4 years. And so if you're born here as a child and you graduate high school here, you will have been through the entirety of the Bible about 3.5 times. That's an amazing gift that we're trying to give our children. And just not have been through it, but acquiring the knowledge of it, the way it's put together, how things are connected, the meaning of things, the application of things. That is such a powerful thing that we're trying to give to our children in this congregation. Who's responsible to teach those classes? Who is responsible to teach those classes? We have a number of good teachers, but I really feel like we could have quite a number more of good teachers if we would understand our personal responsibilities to teach. What I'm asking is, are you a mature Christian? Are you a parent? Are you an older woman who studied God's Word? Are you a faithful man? Are you an elder? You can help. Not just with the little classes, not just with the classes here. That's not all we're talking about. A lot of situations where teaching can be done and needs to be done. And I want to encourage you and really challenge you this morning. It's time to be a teacher. If you fit into one of these categories, and there may be somebody here, well, I'm a fairly new Christian, or maybe I'm not a Christian yet, there's a whole lot I've got to learn, well, then you get busy learning. I'm not mature enough in the faith, I need somebody to help me, fine, we'll find somebody to help you. And there, I know there are a number of people that would fall into those kinds of categories. But we need to look soberly at this. I have, in the years that I've been here at Eastside, I've been so impressed with this Bible class program, and I continue to be. And I think recent revisions to it will only make it better. But it's never going to be all that it can be unless all who can commit to it do commit to it. And that's what we need. That's what we're praying for. Thank you so much for just thinking through this with me this morning. And I hope it will help us grow spiritually, take on responsibilities that challenge us to do more for the Lord in a very productive way. If you're here this morning, you're subject to the invitation of Jesus Christ. The Scriptures teach us what to do to be saved. If you are one who believes in Jesus Christ as God's Son, you know that He came to this earth and lived a perfect life, died that death on the cross to pay the price for your sins, and was raised again the third day, and now reigns at God's right hand. If you understand who Jesus is, and you're willing to confess His name, and turn away from your life of sins, be baptized in water for the remission of your sins, you could be a Christian even this morning. Obey the gospel. Please, as we stand and as we sing, come.